This is the Ultra Running History Podcast. I'm your host, Davy Crockett. Thanks for coming. This is episode 156. In this episode, I will give you a sneak peek of my next book, The 6-Day Race Part 2. I will tell the story of a 6-day race held in 1879 in London, where 13 world records were broken from 50 miles and further. The Brits were learning to run ultra distances. I need your help to better understand the interest in this podcast. I now have been doing it every other week for almost 6 years. Is anyone really listening? Here is how you can help me to understand if I should keep this going. Is it worth at least $1 a month to you? Please go to patreon.com/ultrarunning and sign up to donate at least $1 a month, more if you feel generous. It is easy to set up, and most podcasters use this service. Again, go to patreon.com/ultrarunninghistory. This will help me understand better if all this effort continues to be worth it.
Will do.
Thanks. Since the first 6-day race was held in 1875, 64 had been held up to the time of this race featured in this episode. During April 1879, the second English Astley Belt Race was put on at the Agricultural Hall in London, England. While the Americans were putting up mediocre times and distances, still focusing mostly on walking during their 6-day races, the Brits would run fast in this race and break all ultra-distance world records, proving that they were now the best in the sport. In October 1878, Sir John Astley, a member of Parliament, created an English Astley Belt 6-day race series. The first race in the series was won by William Corky, a vendor of cat food, with a world record of 521 miles. For the second edition of the race in this series, four entrants put up the required 100 pounds, including the defending belt holder, Corky. Others were Blower Brown of Fulham, England, George Hazel of London, England, and Edward Payton Weston, the pioneer American 6-day pedestrian who had been in England for more than 3 years. The best 6-day finishes to date for the entrants were Corky with 5:21, Brown with 5:06, Hazel 4:03, and Weston 510 miles. In England, just as in America, critics against 6-day races were becoming vocal. In Nottingham, it was written,
"We are to have another of those wobbling contests, of which so many have been inflicted upon us lately. The cure of this disease rests with the public if they abstain from paying the entrance money and stay away from these useless 6-day wobbles."
At least 18 6-day races had been held in England so far during the past 3 years. The number of people who came out to witness the early morning start of the race in the Agricultural Hall was impressive.
"One would have almost thought that the public interest in this sport would have by this time been on the wane, if not entirely exhausted. But judging from the number of persons who witnessed the start, it does not seem to have abated in the least."
A little before 1 a.m. on April 21st, 1879, the four runners were led to the starting line. Astley gave them some words of caution about fair play. Weston, always the showman, started in, quote, "a dark blue cloak with black trunks and scarlet stockings. He looked bigger and more muscular than anyone could remember." As soon as Astley signaled, the three Englishmen sprinted away while Weston casually walked, removing his cloak on the second lap to reveal his famous white frilled shirt. Here's a spotlight on runner George Hazel. George Hazel of London, England, was an experienced champion 10-mile walker who had been competing since 1870. He was also a true runner and ran the mile in 4:20. In 1877, he broke the 20-mile world record with 1 hour 57 minutes. He started competing at the ultra-long distances in 1877, winning a 30-mile race in London. His first six-day race was in February 1878, where he won with 239 miles. In April 1878, he broke the 100-mile world record with a time of 17 hours, 3 minutes. In November 1878, in a, quote, secondary English six-day championship race held in Agricultural Hall with 11 starters, he surprisingly won, reaching 403 miles. Hazel was described as having a, quote, bulldog face, short cropped hair, and almost deformed stoop shoulders, which gave him the most displeasing appearance. He was 5'6" and weighed 122 pounds. He trained hard for 6 weeks prior to the current six-day race. From the start, Hazel went on a tear and clocked a 6:13 first mile compared to Weston's 13-minute 35-second mile. He accomplished the greatest first-day running performance ever seen up to that point. He reached the marathon mark in about 3:02, stretched out the lead, and reached 50 miles in a new world record time of 6 hours 14 minutes. He was 7 miles ahead of Bloor Brown and nearly 20 miles ahead of Weston. Hazel continued his torrid pace, fighting stomach cramps, and broke the 12-hour world record with 80 miles, breaking the previous best held by Brown of 69 miles. 20 miles later, he broke the 100-mile world record time with a time of 15 hours 35 minutes, beating his own world record time by more than an hour and a half. After the first day, Hazel set his fourth world record, reaching 133 miles in 24 hours. The previous record was 127 miles. Where were the others after one day? Brown was in second place with 126 miles, Corky 119 miles, and Weston 111 miles. Here is a spotlight on Bloor Brown. Henry Bloor Brown of Fulham, England, was a brickmaker who during his working days would run wheelbarrows up and down planks. He was 5'7" and weighed 133 pounds. He had been running competitively at distances of up to 10 miles since at least 1862, and won several races, including a 20-mile race pushing a wheelbarrow. There were multiple Browns where he was employed. Since he was stationed at the bellows, he was called Blower. He was described as, quote,
plucky and persevering. This wonderful little man has a pace exactly modeled somewhat the speed of a pig, an animal which is popularly supposed to go just a little faster than anything that tries to catch it.
He finished in third at the first Astley Belt race with 477 miles and finished second in the first English Astley Belt race with 506 miles. Brown trained hard for 3 months before the current six-day race on a private cinder track created in an orchard under the watchful eye of Mrs. Blower and his friends. At about 150 miles, Hazel started to struggle.
He did not feel well on the first day, suffering from diarrhea, and in consequence had to make no fewer than 6 stoppages during day one, which weakened him considerably.
That's nasty.
On day two, however, he managed to perk a little and quite relished some oysters that had been procured for him. He has still confidence in his abilities to win the race.
Unfortunately, his tent in the hall was pitched at the end of the building that was turning into a fair. It generated loud noises of, quote, knock-em-downs, shooting galleries, bowls, bells, etc. Brown overtook Hazel for the lead during the early afternoon of day two. He reached 200 miles in 41 hours 29 minutes, setting a world record for that distance, and reached 221 miles in 48 hours, which broke that world record. Because of longer breaks taken by the forerunners, the spectators experience a certain level of monotony. Little humorous incidents and sprints between the runners helped make it interesting, but this particular race seemed more serious and businesslike. Day 3 was called, quote, a dull day.
One of the quietest known in this country's long-distance competitions.
Clearly, the promoters needed to figure out how to put on a more interesting show. Brown reached 300 miles in 68 hours 32 minutes, another world record, and was handed a bouquet of flowers and two silk handkerchiefs. He then reached 306 miles in 72 hours, another world best, with a 16-mile lead over Hazel. On the third day, Hazel recovered and ran better, pulling within 3 miles of Brown, who then pulled away for good. On day 4, the building finally filled up with 10,000 people. The center area was a third full, and around the barriers there were lines of spectators many deep. The galleries were just as crowded. Brown and Hazel were still competing relatively closely.
As for Corky, his case was hopeless, and Weston was altogether out of it. Brown never has looked so well or gone better.
Brown reached 400 miles in 93 hours, 56 minutes, 2 hours shy of 4 days.
There was an outburst of applause, enough to shake the building, and then, with the utmost impartiality, the people gave up all their remaining lung powers to the glorification of the other 3 competitors and kept the cheering up as the hall was cleared.
Brown finished the day with 503 miles, becoming the first person in history to reach 400 miles in 4 days, and had a 17-mile lead over Hazel. The work of the attendants, which we now call crews, was impressive to watch.
There is always something wanted, and while the walker gets a rest when he leaves the track, that is just when the attendants' attentions are most wanted.
Multiple attendants would take shifts, but still, they would hang around and watch carefully what those on duty do. Even the lap scorers, who are relieved at stated intervals, hang out about the building. Brown's trainer, or crew chief, Jack Smith, and Sir John Astley took Brown to Astley's home, gave him a hot bath, and made him a nice meal of chops. Astley wrote,
"Whilst I was helping Blower into his running suit, I was horrified to observe old Smith busily employed gobbling up all the best parts of the chops, leaving only the bone, gristle, and fat. And when I asked him about his greediness and cruelty to this man, he replied, 'Bless yer, Blower has never had the chance of eating the inside. He likes the outside.' Sure enough, the brickmaker cleaned up the dish."
During day 5, Hazel finally realized that overtaking Brown and winning would be impossible.
During the afternoon, some anxiety was caused as Brown, who had been trotting round in a capital style for a few laps, suddenly reeled when opposite his tent and had to be assisted in. He did not, however, remain long, about 16 minutes, and he was again underway, apparently as well as ever. The cause of it is to be attributed to mental anxiety and excitement.
At the end of day 5, the score stood at Brown 480 miles, Hazel 454, Corky 438, and Weston 399. After 3.5 hours of rest, Brown started the last day with a goal of breaking Corky's 6-day world record of 521 miles and finish with at least 540 miles. He reached 500 miles in 128 hours, the world's best time. It was written,
"Brown's feat of walking 500 miles in 128 hours has no parallel in the history of pedestrianism."
Since there really was no racing going on between the men, for entertainment of the 5,000 people, the band played popular songs and Weston danced and hopped around the track. Brown broke the 6-day world record at 4 p.m. and crushed it, finishing with 542.5 miles in 140 hours and 21 minutes in front of 14,000 people. That is 3.5 hours short of 6 days. Speeches were made, and then everyone went home. Blower Brown was now the world champion six-day pedestrian. Hazel reached 493 miles, Corky 472 miles, and Weston 450 miles. During the race, Brown set the world best distances from 48 hours to 6 days. Back in America, pedestrians were put on notice by Brown's impressive win.
Such results will set sensible pedestrians at some sober thinking, for against such a man, it is useless for almost any of our long-distance walkers to try to compete unless they train themselves more intelligently than they have heretofore done. Another truth demonstrated by this great race is the correctness of O'Leary's assumption that running is to be the pedestrian gait of the future. Weston walked steadily and well, but stood at the bottom of the list because all these competitors ran while he merely walked. If the Astley Belt is to come back to this country, our walking men must begin at once to be implicitly guided by the lessons of this remarkable race.
Even though Weston came in last, a reporter for The Sporting Life in London reminded readers that the sport was indebted to Weston for bringing the sport to England.
The Yankees' apostle's successful crusade in introducing his favorite hobby, and now that others are profiting by his experience and finding an easy way to fortune over the bridge which this little man built for them, and he is eclipsed by the new lights. The new race of celebrities should never forget that but for Weston, this branch of industry would never have taken the public's taste.
Internationally, the next big race would be the fourth Astley Belt race to be held in England during June 1879. But before that historic six-day race, there were at least 23 six-day races held during April and May 1879 in America, Canada, England, and Scotland. The six-day mania was clearly spreading. America was not ready to fully give up on heel and toe walking during six-day races. In May 1879, O'Leary put on a heel and toe long-distance championship belt of the world race, which was held at Gilmer's Garden, soon to be renamed Madison Square Garden, with 14 starters. There was an entrance fee of $100, and they needed to reach 400 miles in order to be eligible for prize money. A silver belt valued at $1,000 would go to the winner. There was not much interest from spectators in the event, probably because it only involved walking. And the more well-known pedestrians were training for the fourth Astley Belt race in England. George Guyon reached 100 miles first in about 21 hours. He kept the lead on day two, reaching 187 miles.
The interest in the match is dying out, as was attested by the attendance of only 500 people. Of these, a large number were deadheads, and among them, street boys were so plentiful that it looked as though the doors had been thrown open to all of them who have, at previous contests, been constant in their attendance on the outside.
In the end, Guyon won with 480 miles, 19 miles ahead of Frederick Krohn, a very tall German-American from New York City who reached 461 miles. With 13 six-day races held in only 1 month in England and America, the six-day mania was at its peak in its history. Stay tuned for more six-day race history. With that, this is Davy Crockett, and this is the Ultra Running History Podcast. I hope you run fast and far. Enjoy life. Get outdoors, and most of all, stay safe and don't take unnecessary chances.